Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the Believer's Authority was recorded at our 2009 Atlanta Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
So last night, how many of you were not here last night? Were not. Could I see your hand? Praise God. Well, we welcome you. What I did last night was lay a foundation for all of this teaching, and I tell you, we encountered a lot of stuff last night. I spoke things that were just so contrary to the way that most people think. We're talking about the authority of the believer, and in a nutshell, it's hard for me to summarize everything I said last night, but in a nutshell, most people are asking God to do what He told us to do. They're asking God to move, to pour out His Spirit, to heal, to deliver, to save, to set free. God's already done all of that, and He put that power on the inside of us, and He told us to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out the devils, to preach the gospel. And instead of us doing what He told us to do, we are asking Him to touch these people and to heal them, and that's the reason it's not working. It's because people don't understand the authority that God has given us. And most Christians believe God can do anything, but that He has done nothing. And so they are begging and pleading with God to move, and that's got to change. So that's the reason we're teaching on this series about the authority of the believer. Another verse that I used last night is James 4:7. It says, "Submit yourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." And that verse makes it very clear that you are the one that resists the devil and he flees from you, not directly from God. If you are praying and saying, "Oh God, please get the devil off my back," it'll never work. God gave you authority and you have to resist the devil and he will flee from you. It's not your power, but it's God's power in you. And until you get to fighting and resisting the devil, he won't flee. So what I want to do this morning is begin to talk about this warfare against the devil. I really stressed this last night, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, that we aren't wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There is a battle going on, and most Christians have heard about this. They don't participate in it a lot, but they've heard that there's this battle going on, and they really are, most Christians are intimidated at Satan's power. They think that, yes, our power is greater than Satan's, but just barely. They give Satan a tremendous amount of credit. Matter of fact, if you were to do a survey, if you were to take people who are non-Christians, non-churchgoers, did you know most of them don't give Satan the time of day? Many of them don't even believe in the existence of the devil. But among Christians, they believe that there's a devil, and most of them believe that Satan is this powerful, formidable force, and most Christians are really intimidated. Matter of fact, I had one woman come up to me last night who said that she had called our prayer chain and our prayer ministry and stuff, but that Satan had grabbed her and that there were these physical manifestations. I said, "It's no big deal." And she was just kind of shocked, like, "Why, it is a big deal." I said, "No, it's not a big deal." Any of you ever hear of this guy, Smith Wigglesworth? Smith Wigglesworth tells a story about going to bed one night and he saw movement at the end of his bed and he held his candle up like this and looked and there was a demon standing at the end of his bed. What would you do if you saw a demon standing at the end of your bed? Most of us said, "Man, go to praying in tongues, rebuking, binding." We'd call somebody. We'd go into spiritual warfare. We'd get excited because, man, we'd be terrified and we'd be fighting this. You know what Smith did? He just blew out the candle and said, "Oh, it's just you." Blew the candle out and went to bed. Satan can't do anything to you without your consent and cooperation. And the very fact that the church gives Satan so much attention and magnify him and talk, I mean, they love to say, "The devil made me do it." Flip Wilson wasn't the first one to come up with that. The church did. And the church loves to blame the devil and talk about all of these things. And they love to glorify all of the demonic things. And there's people that their whole ministry consists of exposing all of these things. And in the process of trying to expose the devil, they have magnified him and given him much more credit than what he deserves. That's not accurate. You know, let me give you this one story before I get into this teaching and share some things with you from Scripture. But I was on an airplane. This is many, many years ago when they still allowed smoking on the airplane. And they had a smoking section. And anyway, it was they put us on. There was a friend of mine, Philip Moore, was with me. And they put us on the last row of the plane in the smoking section. And there was a guy up against the window here. I was sitting in the middle seat and Philip was on the aisle seat. And while we were sitting at the gate, before the plane door had even closed and stuff, this guy that was sitting next to me smoked two cigarettes while we were sitting at the gate. And the stewardess came up, told him, "You got to put out your cigarette." And he'd just cuss her. I mean, he was vile. He was vicious and yelled at her. And she just basically let him do what he wanted to. So he was smoking. He had on one of these floppy French beret hats, and he had kind of red hair. Strawberry blonde kind of hair, and he had a beard that was down to his waist, and it had big old holes out of it where it had been matted, and he had to pull something out, and his big old holes gone in the beard. And he had on an army field jacket that had cigarette burns all over it, and he stunk. He had fingernails that were like an inch long, and there was green and yellow crud coming out from under his fingernails, and the guy's teeth were all blackened and rotten, and he had bad breath. He was a mess. And anyway, I was sitting next to this guy. So the stewardess was having problems, and he was yelling at them and just cussing everybody. And so I started talking to this guy. And I asked him, I said, "So what do you do? What kind of job do you do? What do you do for work?" And I don't know if any of you are old enough to remember the Maynard G. Krebs, Dobie Gillis. Anybody remember that on TV? And Maynard, every time you'd say work, he'd go, "Work!" Well, that's the way this guy was. I said, "What kind of work are you doing?" He goes, "Work." He says, "Why should I work?" He says, "The government pays me a good living not to work." He says, this old capitalistic system has to have 10% unemployment to make it work. I'm just helping the system. I get my food out of dipsy dumpsters, trash cans, and things like that. And so I started telling him, I said, "Look, God created man, and even Adam and Eve, he created them and gave them work to do, told them to dress the garden." I said, "You would be much more blessed if you were to work and do something." And I just kept talking to him about the Lord and mentioning God. And every time I'd mention the Lord, this guy would turn and look out the window. And you could tell he didn't want to hear it. And I just kept talking to him about the Lord. And finally, we were up in the air by this time. And this guy, he just wheeled around like this and put his nose right up against my nose. And he yelled at me out loud on this airplane. And he said, "You are speaking to a disciple of the Maharishi." And he gave out this long name, which in the conversation I found out was a name for Satan. He was a Satanist high priest. Told me he'd cut out people's hearts and killed them and offered them and different things. And he just stood there. And I mean, there was demonic power in his eyes. And it was something else. And he had his nose right up against me yelling at me. Now, what would you do? You know what? If I'd have reached over and grabbed Philip's hand and say, "Oh, let's pray and agree and let's bind it," you know what? I'd have been had. You know, when that happened, it infuriated me. It was like he challenged me. So, you know, he kind of backed off and he was looking at me, trying to intimidate me. And I stuck my nose back up against his nose. And I yelled at him and I said, "You are speaking to a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. My God's bigger than your God." And you should have seen this guy. He went from intimidation and anger to he just jumped up in his seat and put his back up against the window. And he started barking like a dog and clacking his teeth together. And he had this fingernail. He bit his fingernail and pulled his thumb out by the roots, and blood was going everywhere. And he was just petrified. And man, I started laying it on him. I said, "You're a loser. Your God's a loser." He said, "Oh, I love my devil. I'd die for my devil." And I said, "You have. Look at you." I said, "You're dead and don't know it. You get your food out of dipsy dumpsters. Some God you got." I said, "He really provides well for you." I said, "You're a loser." And I just began to lay it on this guy. And he says, I have killed 20-something people and cut their hearts out and offered human sacrifices. I can curse you and you'll be dead within 30 minutes. And I said, shoot your best shot. I dare you right now. I said, the curse causeless shall not come. I said, say something against me and it'll come back on you 10 times worse. And he just freaked out. And he got up and he went to the restroom, came back, and he was just calm. I don't know what he did, but he calmed himself down and he was sitting there and I didn't say anything. And he looked around and he said, beautiful day, isn't it? And I said, every day's a great day with Jesus. And he jumps up in the seat and goes to barking. And there were these two Filipino ladies that were right in front of us. And when he started doing all of this, I saw their eyes come up above that thing like this. And they were just... And I don't know what happened, but you know, that plane vacated about 5 or 6 rows in front of us. They were just gone. And it was an hour and 45 minute flight. And for an hour and 15 minutes, there was nobody around. Philip was praying in tongues over here and I was just giving it to this guy. But anyway, my point is, see, that if you sit there and if you think that Satan is really this formidable foe and that he's cut people's hearts out, and if you had any fear or reservation, I guarantee you, you'd be dead in a situation like that. You got to know that Satan is a zero with the rim knocked off. Satan exists and he has power, but all of Satan, now get this, this is what I'm going to try and establish in Scripture today. All of Satan's power is dependent upon you cooperating. He can't do anything to you without your consent or cooperation.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the Believer's Authority. The Believer's Authority is available for the very first time in book form and can be ordered through bookstores nationwide. Or you can receive a copy when you send a gift of any amount for the work of this ministry. Request book R327 when you write or call or when you go to our website. A Spanish version is also available. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Atlanta Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series RM234 or DVD series R3205 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the second teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to encourage you to come out and participate in one of our Gospel Truth seminars. I know sometimes people who listen on the radio think, well, I've already heard what you've got to say, but it's just totally different when you get into a meeting and we develop an atmosphere of faith and we have Bible college students and people there praying, and we see a lot of miracles happen. And I go out an hour before every service. I'm usually one of the last ones to leave. There's a lot of ministry that takes place. And I tell you, it would be a tremendous blessing to you. It's quite different than just our radio programs. So check our listings and come visit us at one of our Gospel Truth seminars.